now, and it has been for many years. And I personally, as I shared before, did not make it a passion of my own life. I actually avoided it because I really didn't understand it. But as the Lord has begun to reveal things, I like to say it this way, God has revealed to me things that are not hidden. They're not difficult to grasp. They're not difficult to see when you look at them from the right light. And that's where we're at in this series, this discussion, this Sunday school class, is looking at things that are not hidden, but we've never connected them before. It's kind of like one of those childhood pages with all the dots. We've never taken the time to connect the dots from one dot to the next and see the picture. And maybe it's because we did not have the understanding. As I read before in Daniel chapter 12, he was told that he should basically seal these things up until the time of the end. I believe God has allowed for us to see things that at one time were not visible for us to grasp. Even though people experienced the opening of the seals, I believe, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, all the way through all of those seals, I don't think they put it all together to recognize that's what they actually witnessed and saw. And so that is one of the things that we've been talking about is the seals. For those of you who are here, you know that if you were not here last week, hopefully you had the opportunity to go online. I did do an introduction to our end time study where I sat in my office and recorded, and that was weird. I don't know. It's one thing to stand behind a pulpit and preach and get recorded. I just don't even think about it. Or to stand here with you and teach. That's another thing. But to sit there in your office and just talk to your computer, it was just kind of strange. But hopefully it went over okay. Anyway, if you missed the first couple lessons, go online. You can listen to what we covered in some detail. It won't be exactly the same because it never is when you teach or preach. But we have talked about the seals of Revelation chapter 6 and how the scroll that has seven of those seals is keeping it from being read, which I believe is directly related to the actual fulfillment of the Great Tribulation. That scroll represents the judgments of God, the wrath that will come out upon this world. It also represents the revealing of who the Antichrist is and his reign and his power for 42 months. We cannot see that until the seals are removed. You can't open it. It's just not possible. And so now we've gone through, we've seen how in the early stages of the 1900s, the late 1800s, our governments across the world were trying to establish their colonial powers. They developed themselves as world powers. And of course, I believe that that was possibly directly fulfilled by the coming of America onto the scene as a world power and a nation to be dealt with. And the 16 fleet of warships, the flotilla, whatever they were called, I think is possibly the actual horse and rider with the bow. It may not be literally, and yet I have a reason for believing that, and that will come later as well. World War I broke out, and war has continued ever since in a way that never has before. I believe that's the opening of the second seal. It's been removed. And once that seal is taken off, you're going to see wars continue until the end. And they're not going to get less. They're not going to be less productive or destructive. They're going to continue to get more developed as they have. We had the third seal, which was representing the inflation. And I believe that has obviously happened across our world. Nations have gone bankrupt. Our own country has struggled in many ways. We're trillions of dollars in debt. And it only started with the opening of that seal and continues to get worse. I believe that the fourth seal has been removed. And all across the world, at least one quarter of the earth is being destroyed or killed by the enemy. Before I forget, I do have, now that we're officially started, offering here. If you want to pass that along until it gets to the back, that'd be great. We have the fourth seal, which is representing Hades following close behind death. In other words, I believe it's saying that the enemy, Satan himself, is able to kill in ways that he was not allowed to before. And I think Job is a great example of that. Job was able to do a lot of things, or Satan was able to do a lot of things to Job, but one thing he couldn't do was take his life. God limited that. He did kill the other people, of course, in his family, except for his wife, who was so supportive. And that was sarcasm, in case you're wondering. We won't go into that one. That's just, we'll let that alone. And so we have the devil only allowed to kill as he was given permission by God himself. Well, when the fourth seal is removed, now he is able to take at least one quarter of the earth and kill with sword, famine, plague, and the wild beasts of the earth. And we're seeing that happen. We're seeing death by animals even that have increased exponentially since the 70s. And people that study animals don't get it. They don't understand what happened, what's different. The only thing they can conclude is that we are encroaching on their wild habitat. That's why the animals are reacting the way they are. But that doesn't answer the pet in your own home, which there are terrible situations where even pets that were so loving would kill. And so we have the studies that prove that that's also happening, along with AIDS is one of the examples I shared. Famine, of course, we know that that's happening. And the 80s revealed a great coming together to help the famine. I believe that the fourth seal has been removed. Last week we talked about the fifth seal as well. Basically, that's martyrdom. I believe in 1997 is possibly the year that seal was removed. And I say that because we were not aware of how many Christians were getting killed every year. And in 1997, all of the public radio stations that were Christian, even our world radio stations, our Congress, Focus on the Family, 700 Club, you name it, they are talking about the martyrdom of Christians in 1996. 160,000 Christians were killed just because of their faith. That doesn't include the 2.5 million that were basically excommunicated, where their children were stolen from them and sold into slavery for the sex trade, and all kinds of terrible things that happened in 1996. And unfortunately, those numbers have not gone down. They've only increased. And the people under the altar are crying out to the Lord, "How much longer until you avenge our blood?" And God's response to them is, "Just a little longer until the number of those who are to be slain have basically died." He has a number. So that's two things. One is disturbing to realize there's more people that will die. But the comforting thing is God is still in control. To the degree that he has an actual number of people that will die by martyrdom, and then he comes. So that leads us to Revelation chapter 6. And I apologize for always doing the introduction that covers some of what we've already done. But for some who aren't here weekly, it just helps to get all on the same page. So, Revelation 6, verse 12. "I watched as he opened the sixth seal. There was a great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair. The whole moon turned blood red. And the stars in the sky fell to the earth as late figs drop from a fig tree when shaken by a strong wind." Now, if we pause there just for a moment, I think it would be fair to argue that we've had pretty extreme earthquakes. Jesus himself said there will be earthquakes, right, in Matthew 24. These are the beginning of birth pains, is what he said. But this seal, as we continue to read, we're going to find it's a little bit different than the rest of the earthquakes that have happened. There's more going on here than what's ever been. And I do not believe it has yet taken place. The sun turned black like sackcloth. That happened when Mount St. Helens blew. We if we were all around then, we could recognize that. We saw the blood red moon. It makes sense that that would happen. Stars falling from the sky. Well, that's a little bit different. I was actually to do this, I totally forgot. How many saw the video of the meteor that came down in Russia a few years ago? How many saw that? A few of you. If you haven't seen it, go online, go to YouTube and Google it. You know, meteor from Russia, or that hits Russia. It's amazing. It comes shooting down a ball of fire, and then it had such speed to it that it created an explosion that blew windows out of buildings. It was boom, and it's like, whoa. Can you imagine 1,000 of those hitting all across one area? How about hundreds of millions of them hitting all across the world? It would cause quite the scene. Okay, that's just something to consider. Okay, so the stars falling from the sky, I believe it's literally meteors coming down, like a fig tree shaken by a strong wind. So there's lots of them. The sky receded like a scroll, rolling up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. Let me say it this way. California, see you later. Right? How many have heard that? You've heard that it's not a matter of if it will happen, it's a matter of when. You know, the whole eastern coast, you know, Washington, Seattle, they're in trouble. If a tsunami hits, they got no protection. They're wiped out. That entire city will be destroyed. Hawaii, I hope you had your vacation. And you're back, right? Because Hawaii's gone. I mean, we're talking all across the world. Literally, mountains are going to be flattened. We live in a good place. Hallelujah. East side Montana, right? Although we are on a volcano, right? So that's another point. So we're in trouble. Never mind. We're all in trouble, right? So you have mountains going to be flattened. You have islands that are going to sink to the bottom of the sea. And this is real stuff, guys. God does not mess around when he's giving details about his destruction. And so when this seal is removed, we're going to have a worldwide catastrophe that the world has never seen. Now, have we seen great earthquakes? Yes. We've seen villages swallowed up by mudslides. Yes. We've seen volcanoes blow. Yes. We've seen all these things. But have we seen them happen around the entire world all at the same time? No, we have not. But we will. Maybe. When I say we will, I mean us here. Maybe. We'll see that. I have something for you that's going to get you a little excited, though. So the sky's receding like a scroll. I don't even know what that means. How many have seen the movies that portray this kind of destruction? They do a lot of Hollywood type of stuff, and they make it look pretty cool and dramatic. I don't think Hollywood's going to have it. I think God's got a better clip than Hollywood could ever produce. And so this is what the writer sees. He sees something that can't even be described. But let's continue, verse 15. Then the kings of the earth, the princes, the generals, the rich, the mighty, every slave, every free man, what they do? They hid in caves among the rocks of the mountains. They hid somewhere. And why did they hide? Well, they recognize something that is different from anything they've ever seen before. They called to the mountains and the rocks, and this is interesting, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. This destruction that's going worldwide when the seal is removed is not, and I clarify this and I dramatically state it, this is not man-made. This is not the result of a nuclear bomb blowing. This is not the result of any kind of catastrophe that man can cause. This is definitely, emphatically, no question, God-driven. And people across the world will recognize it's a natural disaster. And who causes the natural disasters in our world? Well, they're going to blame God, and rightly so. So they call out, and it's interesting that they say, fall on us, cover us, hide us from him. They're fearful. And it says in verse 17, for the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand? The sixth seal is removed. A worldwide catastrophe takes place that is unlike anything the world has ever seen. The description of the sun, moon, stars is very similar to Joel chapter 2, verse 30 through 32. It's very similar to Matthew 24, verse 29. I believe it's quite possible referring to the same event. The blood red moon. Of course, we've all heard the teachings, or maybe not, but you've heard the rumors of the teachings at least, of the blood red moon. If you've listened to John Hagee, he's had a series on that. There's been different red moons. Personally, I'm not worried about the moon turning blood red today. However, if there's a catastrophe that shakes our entire world at the same time that the moon turns blood red, I'm going to open my eyes a little brighter, right? If there's an earthquake that shakes us to pieces and volcanoes start blowing and islands sink into the sea and California says goodbye, And it's sink or swim time, right? If that happens and the moon's red, I'm going to pay attention, as we all should. But this has not yet happened. Now, scientists believe it will happen, this kind of meteor shower type event, the one that they say killed all the dinosaurs, which I think is hilarious. They forget about the flood, of course, that drowned them all. And of course, people are like, well, God says take all these animals onto the ark. What happened to the animals? What happened to the dinosaurs? What, you know? And if you've been to the Creation Museum over here, you got to go. It's awesome. They got a great description of what I believe. Basically this: you don't take all the large adult animals onto the ark. You take the babies. I mean, just let's be smart about this, right? All the young ones certainly eat less. They weigh a lot less. They take up a lot less space. And I believe that's how it happened. And some of those creatures didn't need to come into the ark because they were swimmers. And so, anyway, that's a whole other discussion. So we have movies that were portraying this catastrophic event. One of them is called Armageddon. I believe it was Bruce Willis that was one of the stars in that one. Deep Impact is another one. Morgan Freeman was the president. And if you like Morgan Freeman as an actor, he makes a good kind of president if he's acting it out right, right? So that was back in 1998. Very interesting. Interestingly enough, we've had different people quote Isaiah 9:10 saying, "We will rebuild. Rocks have fallen, buildings have come down, but we will rebuild." And our own president in 1992, President Bill Clinton, he actually quoted that verse. And it was interesting. My hair on my neck stood straight up. Because if you know that passage, you know that that is not what you want to be quoting. Because that is God saying, you are so arrogant and proud, you say to yourselves in your hearts, we will rebuild. And that's what he quoted. He quoted the part of the arrogant people, not recognizing that God's judgment comes because of that quote. And so he actually pronounced judgment on America way back in the 90s. And of course, then we saw 9/11, and there's a whole bunch of the same quote from that same verse. And I've got a whole series I teach about that from the Harbinger. So anyway, continuing on. Scientists say it's not a weather of if it's going to happen, it's when. They believe this kind of worldwide destruction will happen. What's going to be the result? I believe the result is a coming together around the world. Every nation will be crippled. We will not be able to defend ourselves. The world will be so catastrophically damaged that we will have to come together or we will die. We will not survive as a people in this world. And so I believe nations are going to come together. They're going to support one another. They're going to create themselves a one-world system because it's necessary. And out of the rubble and out of the devastating results of this seal being removed to bring in the end day, one person will end up rising above all others. And, of course, we know him to be the Antichrist himself. This will be the platform he will use to incorporate his one-world government, which will also result, by the way, in a one-world religion and a one-world currency. It will happen, people. It will happen. Why do I know this? Because the Bible says so. We don't have to debate if it's going to happen, if there will be a one-world government. It's going to happen. What will cause it? I believe this will. Antichrist, false prophet, they're going to surface. You know, you might wonder, why is there a false prophet involved? Well, we'll go into that later on. But just remember, it's not the Antichrist that does the miracles, it's the false prophet. He represents God. And he will tell the people, this is Christ, and I can prove it to you, and he'll call down fire from heaven. And you know the story of Elijah. People said, whoa, he is God. You know, there is a God, and it must be his God. Because it's not our God. Our God's sleeping, like Elijah said. Our God's on vacation. He's not real. And they will see the power of God through a false prophet who will point to a false Christ, and they will believe. I believe it's possible that it's during this time that the treaty is signed that will be for all people, that Daniel 9:27 speaks about. It's a 7-year covenant with many. That's how Daniel describes it. But here's the question I have for you. How in the world can the United States of America allow this to happen? I mean, we have some pride. Amen? I shouldn't even say amen. We are patriotic. We believe that our country is the greatest country in the world. Now, I'm saying that with real sincere truth. I do believe that. I believe this country is the greatest country in the world. However, I believe that we're very arrogant and proud to the point that God needs to judge this country because of our arrogance. How will America stand by and let this happen? We want a piece of that pie. I mean, after all, we are the world dominators right now. We're the ones that are the police force of the entire world. If you're messing around over in your country and you're treating people wrong, who's going to step in and save the day? The Americans. A lot of people politically say we shouldn't be doing that. But then there's a lot of people politically saying that if we don't, who will, right? Well, the world's tired of it. They're tired of the American coming in and putting their nose where it doesn't belong. And I guarantee if America has any strength at all during this time, we will still stand in the way of this one world government, this one world currency, and this one world religion. We will not stand for it. And I believe that leads us to another place. Where's the church when all this happens? Well, let's read chapter 7, beginning with verse 1. Keep in mind, the seal has just been removed. Catastrophic destruction has just rocked the world. Islands are no longer visible. They're in the sea. Earthquakes have split and caused great divides and destruction. If you think that 9/11 was bad with the coming down of those great towers, imagine all of them coming down. All of them. It's pretty difficult to grasp. And here's what we see as we continue to read. After this, referring to the destruction, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth to prevent any wind from blowing on the land or on the sea or on any tree. So you got four angels, and they're saying, whoa, enough, no more, hold on. Verse 2, then I saw another angel coming up from the east, having the seal of the living God. He called out in a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm the land and the sea. That's pretty cool. Angels are the ones that are causing the destruction here. I don't know how they do it. I haven't talked to an angel that I'm aware of. However, that doesn't mean I haven't talked to an angel. Amen? God says that we entertain them unawares. And I think that's pretty cool. I'm like, I wonder which angels I've talked to. I don't know. I don't know how they do this, but God says that these angels are the ones that he's given power to basically cause the destruction we just read about. Another angel comes up and says, stop! Don't harm the land anymore. Verse 3, do not harm the land or the sea or the trees until we put a seal on the foreheads of the servants of our God. Then I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 from all the tribes of Israel. I'm not going to read through all the tribes there. You can do that on your own time if you'd like. Verse 9. So you got 144,000 people are going to be sealed by God to protect them for 1,260 days. That is the literal time period that the Antichrist will rule with power. Verse 9, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. This is pretty cool. Great multitude of people around the throne praising and honoring and worshiping the Lord, and they're demonstrating to everyone in that vicinity that God is our Savior. Verse 11, all the angels were standing around the throne, around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen, praise and glory, wisdom, thanks and honor, and power and strength to be to our God forever and ever. Amen. So be it. And I love this. You have multitudes of people that are praising God, and he can't count them, as we'll see as we go on and read more. So this is a pretty cool scene. He just saw the destruction of the world, all the kings, all the slaves, every person, every tribe, nation, language, all the peoples are crying out, oh, Lord, hide us from God. Hide us from the wrath that is coming. They recognize it's a natural disaster. They blame a God. I don't know if they're blaming the right God, but they're blaming God. And then everybody says, stop. Hold on. There's 144,000 Jews that are believers right now that need to be protected from the enemy. And we'll read about them more in chapter 12 of Revelation. But while this is going on, he also sees multitudes of people. Then one of the elders, I love this, verse 13, one of the elders asked me, and I wonder who it was. Was it Peter? Who's the elder? I don't know. These in white robes, he says. Who are they, and where did they come from? And John is smart. I answered, sir, you know. If you're ever called on in class and you don't know the answer, that's a good answer. Josh, do you know the equivalency of, you know, sir, you know. That's a good answer, right? In other words, I have no idea, but I'm sure you're going to tell me, right? And so John is smart, and he does the right thing. He says, tell me, please. He said, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation. Whoa! What? What great tribulation? We haven't had a great tribulation. All we've seen is what we've already seen. We've seen the coming of nations in the early 1900s or the late 1800s. We've seen World War I and everything else and beyond. We've seen inflation just rock nations to their knees and the people that have to work full-time, two jobs in the home and just to try and make ends meet. We've seen countries that went bankrupt. We've seen all of the increases of plagues and disease and famine. We've seen the animal attacks killing more and more like we've never seen before. We've seen the souls of those who were slain crying out under the altars, how much longer, Lord? But we haven't seen the tribulation. We've seen the destruction of the world as the sixth seal is removed, but we haven't seen the enemy Antichrist rise up in his power. How can this be? Well, it can't. We have a problem here. We have a translation issue. You see, when you do a translation of one language to the next, that's not always a perfect science. And we have here a very possible turn of events. And I don't think it's just possible. I think it's probable, and I think it is. It says, these are they who have come out, and I'm going to say it this way, before the great tribulation. You can translate those words in the Greek to say exactly that, and you are accurate. They have come out before the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorched heat, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. They have just come up before me in what we would call the great rapture of the church. I believe when the sixth seal is removed and the earthquakes and the volcanic activities and the stars fall from the sky and Armageddon and Deep Impact, the movies, become the reality of the day. And we all saw Japan get hit by a tsunami that I watched live that was unbelievable to see happen. And that is going to be the daily news for any part of the world you live, if the stations are able to keep their power. And that's a big if. But at the moment of this seal's removal, the church shall be taken up to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall be with him forever. What is God's promise? We've read it time and time again. They shall not suffer my wrath. And what are the people crying out for? For the rocks to do? Fall on us, hide us from God, for the great wrath has come. And here's the thing that I hope you are truly shaken inside. We do not have to see anything else happen in our world before the rapture of the church. Everything is set. We have seen, and I clarify and I express great passion that we have seen the first five seals removed from the scroll. We have not seen the sixth seal removed. Nothing has ever happened in this world like we just read. It's going to happen. It's the next thing. It's the next thing. And the next thing includes your rapture. You being taken up to meet the Lord in the air. And you will be there, and God has already seen you, and John has already seen you worshiping around the throne of God with your white robe because you are saved from the wrath of God, just as he promised. And you're going to be worshiping God. And God, you're not going to know what's even going on, but it's already happened in John's mind. He already saw it. He saw the future, and you were there worshiping God around the throne of God. And he's looking at you at the multitudes and millions from the nations that you can't even count. And the elder says, who are these people? And John's like, I have no idea. No clue. And the elder says, these are those that have come out before the great tribulation because they are washed by the blood of the Lamb. And here's the thing that you probably need to hear as well. Many people will say during the tribulation, there will be an opportunity for salvation. And I want to believe that. I really, really do. But I have a hard time. There's a number of reasons why I have a hard time believing that. And I'm just going to, I'm not necessarily on my notes, I don't think. I don't think so. But I am going to talk about, I'm going to follow some of my notes if you're on page 12. Satan will make sure the rapture's covered up. I have an opinion about the shooting in Las Vegas. I have an opinion that we're not seeing the whole story. I believe there's a great cover-up. It takes a coordinated effort to do that. Satan is coordinated. And there will be a great cover-up on the day of this destruction and the rapture of the church. Let me explain why I believe that. Millions will be buried under rubble. Millions will be buried under mudslides. Millions will be buried under the ash and all of the volcanic activity. There will be floods that will wipe people out. Can you imagine every skyscraper tumbling to the ground with thousands of people inside? We know what it looks like. We've seen 9/11. We've seen the place. We saw the rubble. We saw the people trying to find one survivor. There were survivors, which is a really incredible story about the survivors, the firefighters, just a few people. Have you seen that before? Wow. Wow. But all those floors of people, there's nothing. They couldn't even find DNA. There will be no proof that the rapture ever occurred. There'll be no proof. With all the rubble, all the mudslides, all the tsunamis, all the islands sinking, California waved goodbye. And I've got family in California, but they know Jesus, so they're okay. They'll be going up and looking down. Whoop, there goes everything. Whoa. Guess they don't have to worry about taxes this year. There's no land. Right? It's not going to be like you read. I appreciate the writers of the Left Behind series because I think their intentions are awesome. But I believe that they're so wrong in their novels, in what it will be. I believe it will be so destructive that there will be no proof. And if anybody survives that could say, I just saw somebody vanish right before my eyes, right before the building collapsed. I know I saw that. And they will say, no, 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 I'm sorry. You're having a hallucination. It's PTSD, post-traumatic stress syndrome. You are not in your right mind. We need to give you some drugs. Right? We've got a place for you. There's a building over here. Everybody will really take good care of you. Shut her up. He will allow for this rapture to be covered, and the enemy will cover it up. There will not be this great, oh, if only I'd listened, now they're gone. They won't know. They won't even know. And during that same period of time, 144,000 saints are going to be protected from the enemy. They're going to be sealed. And I don't understand this. I honestly don't. Here's my problem. Were they believers before the opening of the seal and God simply left them behind? I'm sorry, but that just doesn't seem right. I have a hard time with that. Or were they so close to being passionately born again that when it happened, they were protected enough to where they saw what they knew was the word of God being revealed and they repented on the spot that same day? I don't know. I don't understand the 144,000, how they came to be alive and well and born again. But they are. Somehow they get saved, either after or right before. I don't get it. But my opinion is if they're born again before the rapture, they should get to go up. But you see, God has a plan for these people to be the governors of his kingdom. I believe that they'll be the rulers of the land during his thousand-year reign. We have governors in our state. We have a president. We have leaders that keep order in law. I believe that's who these people are going to be. I believe that they're going to be the ones that are going to be the extension of God's arm, Jesus Christ himself as he sits on the throne. That's why they're there. And they have a unique, special purpose, and I think it's cool. I'm okay with that. I just don't know why they're there. I don't know how it come to be. We could read in Revelation 12 about the details of their protection. And we'll get back to that at another time. So we have the opening of the seal. I believe the rapture of the church will take place at the same time. I believe the evidence reveals that in Revelation chapter 7. I believe that John is able to look and see those who have been taken up before the Great Tribulation, not after. It doesn't even make sense that it would be after. And one of the reasons why people misunderstand the seals is because they misinterpreted and translated wrongly this one little verse. They are taken out before the Great Tribulation. And then the world will come together to establish a one-world government, a one-world religion, a one-world currency. But what's America going to do about that? We don't have time to dive deeply into the next section. But I would like to at least establish the connection of Revelation 17 and Revelation 18. So turn with me there if you will. Any questions? I sometimes forget to allow for questions. Any questions about what I've covered with the seals of Revelation chapter 6? Yes, Russ. No. The 144,000 will not lead a revival. I don't know where that teaching come from, but it's not in the Bible. What is in the Bible, there will be two witnesses. And they will preach for 1,260 days. Interestingly, the Antichrist will have them killed. And after they're dead in the grave for 4 days, and then they come up, everybody's going to go, whoa, because everybody's going to see it when they rise up. And this is in chapter 12. Or 11, 12, 11, I think it's chapter 11. And so you have these two witnesses that are going to rise up in front of all men and go up to heaven. And then there's going to be a great earthquake in Jerusalem and a bunch of people are going to die. And it's going to be kind of crazy. But before that happens, they have a four-day celebration as they look at their dead bodies. They're going to be killed in front of all mankind because they have been an annoyance preaching continuously for 3.5 years. and nobody could touch him. Anyone that tried to kill him, fire came out of their mouth. Now, I don't even know what that means, but I know it's bad. So that's the only gospel that we know is going to be preached during the tribulation, is the two witnesses. And technically, it's right before the Great Tribulation where the Antichrist comes into power, because he can't come into power until they quit preaching. Yes.
If I understood it correctly, you're thinking that there's no possible chance for salvation after the church goes. My question is, well, then why do you keep preaching the pre-tribulation?
Very good question. I say I want to believe people will get saved. Here's what's going to have to happen. They will need to make a cognitive, intellectual choice to trust Jesus from the past, from Nazareth, is truly God. And they will need to put their faith in him without the same presence of the Holy Spirit that you and I have today. Much more difficult. But Daniel is included with the people that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Daniel did not have the presence of the Holy Spirit in his day the way we have him in our day. Jesus had to go away in order for him to send the Comforter, who would convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. That's what we read in John. And it's because of the conviction of the Holy Spirit that as a little boy sitting in the back of the church, I asked my mommy if I could go forward and ask Jesus into my heart. It wasn't because I intellectually understood what I was doing. It's because of the conviction of the Spirit. But that conviction will be gone. And what's going to happen is the whole world is going to hate the two witnesses. They're going to hate them so greatly that when they're finally killed and their bodies are exposed on the streets for 4 days for people to ooh and ah over, they're going to celebrate and they're going to share gifts with one another like we do Christmas. That's what they're going to actually do. How many people are going to get saved during the preaching of the two witnesses? I have no idea. I hope some. I hope. But I don't know how they will be able to come to that place. It'll have to be a willfulness on their own part, not the conviction of the Spirit. That's what's disturbing to me. Now, great questions. Anybody else? We can wrap this whole time up with some more good questions so we don't get halfway in. Right. What are they doing right now? They're going to be hid away for 1,260 days. No, they're not. Well, let's go there. Let's go to chapter 12 of Revelation. Let's go to chapter 12, and let's read this great story, okay? I think this will be a good place to end our discussion. A great and wondrous sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his head. His tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that he might devour her child the moment it was born. We saw that fulfillment when King Herod killed little babies in Bethlehem. So the devil tries to kill the Christ, the king, and he failed. Okay, verse 5. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. That is yet to come. We know him as Savior, but we haven't seen him demonstrate kingship. Her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. And so Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. So we can see the chronological order. The woman represents Israel, and she gives birth. And of course, some people say it's Mary, and I'm thinking, you know, that's fine if you want to say that. But literally, it's Israel. It's the descendants that Jesus was needing to come from. And so you have the dragon trying to kill her, the Jews. I don't know that he ever tried to kill Mary specifically, but he definitely tries to kill the child, and he fails, and he is now at the right hand of the Father. The woman fled to the desert to a place prepared for her by God where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days. I believe that is the 144,000 right there. The woman represents Israel, which is the 12,000 from each tribe, which is 12. There's 144,000 that are going to be protected by God from the enemy for the time that the Antichrist rules and reigns. They will not be in evidence in the world where we can look upon them and see them and hear them. There was a great war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragons, and the dragon and his angels fought back. So this is yet to come. He was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, and who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven, "Now have come the salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down." The devil has not been hurled down in this manner yet. A lot of people think this is when Satan came to the earth. It's not. Satan was there in heaven when he was accusing Job. We have an intercessor on our behalf. It says in our New Testament that Jesus is on sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf. Why? Because of the accuser of the brethren. Who is the accuser? Satan. Satan right now today can stand there before God and say, "You shouldn't let her do that. You shouldn't let him do that. You should judge them. You should destroy them." And God is like, "Well," and Jesus says, no, wait a minute, that's mine. My blood covers him. My blood covers her. We have an intercessor who's defending us right now today because the accuser can still go before the Father. The day is coming when he'll be cast down and never will be allowed to return. And then we continue here. The accuser of our brethren who accuses them day and night has been hurled down in verse 10. They overcame him, how? By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. They will be destroyed. Any living Christian on the world is going to be destroyed by the enemy here. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, you who dwell in them, but woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down, and he's filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. And I realize I'm reading the whole chapter, and we got just a couple more minutes, so let me continue. Verse 13. The dragon saw that he had been hurled down to the earth. He pursued the woman who had given birth to the child. Who is that? The Jews. The Israelites, right? He hates the Israelites. He hates the Jews. And so he's going to try and destroy them. But I believe it's not just in general. I believe it's the 144,000 who are protected for 1,260 days. And here it says in verse 14, the woman was given two wings of a great eagle so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the desert where she would be taken care of for a time, times, and half a time out of the serpent's reach. The Antichrist will have power to control the world and destroy anyone who does not bow to him, but he cannot touch the 144,000. They are taken away from him for time, times, and half in time. That's 42 months, 1,260 days, 3.5 years, whichever you choose to say. Verse 15, this is cool. Then from his mouth the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman and sweep her away with the torrent. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowed the river that the dragon had spewed out of its mouth. Now, I don't know what that is, but it's going to happen. They're going to be protected, and there's going to be a great chasm, some earthquake, it's going to open up, that's going to swallow the water that would have wiped them out. That's going to be a cool day, whatever that is. So they're protected. God saves them. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth. Okay, I read that. Verse 17. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman, and this is cool, and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring. Who is that? No. Who is it? Who are you grafted into? You are the Jews. You are the offspring. Every Christian is going to be annihilated by the enemy. If there is Christians here still on the earth somehow, if they do get saved while the two witnesses are preaching, which I hope there's some saved. Amen? So the woman will be protected. They can't be touched. And there's so much more I got to share with you about that when we get into our Babylon discussion. But she is going to be taken away by the wings of an eagle. That's kind of a buzzer button right there. Think about that one. Okay? Just to ask you, what country in the world has an eagle? Think about it just for a little bit, and then we'll go on. But we'll pick up there next week. So the dragons enraged at the woman went off to make war against the rest of the offspring, those who obeyed God's commands and had told the testimony of Jesus, and the dragon stood on the shore of the sea. And so he is angry. And he can't touch the 144,000. But if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and he's at this point, you're dead. You're dead. But that's okay. Yes. No, I don't think so. I really don't. I believe that we have to keep in line with the original expression of the woman at the beginning of the chapter. The church couldn't come before the baby. And the woman is the one that gave birth to the child. And I believe that it's literally Israel. The ones that were given the promise. Abraham was given the promise that through his seed, all nations would be blessed. And I believe that is the representation of the woman. And she is the one that will be attacked. That's my opinion on it. So. I believe that before we see the Antichrist, well, I'm going to prove to you without any shadow of doubt, before the Antichrist rules, Babylon will be destroyed. And I believe that we are Babylon. And I'll show you why I believe that next week. So if you want to put a big picture on it, I realize I'm 2 minutes past, so I apologize. But here's we'll wrap it up in one thought. The next thing we're going to see prophetically is the rapture of the church. Okay? The destruction of the world and the rapture of the church. And then everything will be set for the Antichrist to come in. But before he can rule and reign, the 10 kings that we're going to read about next week have to become 7 kings. But before the 10 kings change their system of authority to 7, Babylon will be gone. America, if it is Babylon, and that's what we're going to talk about, will not be here during the tribulation. So let's pray. Lord God, thank you for your word. I know that's kind of a cliffhanger.